nice to see the mainstream media here.
Oh, we're pretty much everywhere.
Are you? Seem to be absent at the other protests.
If I told you how many times you hear it on both sides.
Yeah.
In the entirety of me covering all stories,
yeah.
I'll have liberals telling me I'm conservative, I'll have conservatives telling me I'm liberal.
But you know
what?
They'll
say you don't cover this, they'll say you're covering that.
It's funny when there's thousands of people marching in the streets, you don't see it on the news, right? That's what's crazy.
I don't know what you're referring to. I can tell you this. I was covering an anti-mask, but I was covering anti-mask, anti-vax protest.
Yeah.
I'm here, regardless of my political views, whatever.
That's beautiful.
I'm here as a camera. I'm live.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I do live.
That's wonderful.
And I wasn't trying to get a compliment.
I'm just saying that's good. It's refreshing to hear, right?
And then immediately I have people coming up to me, spitting towards me. We have people licking our car door handles and people swearing at us. Okay. And
It's not right.
I'll tell you this, it does make the media a little bit, leery about covering events where they think that they're going to get attacked. So a lot of people come in sometimes.
Already. It is. What day is it today? It is Monday, September 13th, 2021. This is the Fakeologist speaking. It's 8:33 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And I'm coming to you from the north shores of Lake Ontario, Canada. What you're watching on your screen now is a frontline protest. The frontline workers, supposed to be police, fire ambulance, maybe some nurses. I'm not too sure. But a pretty good turnout. And according to Stephanie, who's doing this interview that you were listening to earlier, just for a second, she was talking to a camera guy, I guess, and just asking what he was doing there. I like Stephanie a lot. She's 100 million moms on Instagram. Yeah, pretty good turnout. I would say there's more than a few hundred people there. I can't count that easily. Looks like it's about 6 deep and looks about 20 wide, so maybe a couple hundred. It's hard to tell. But pretty good turnout. And maybe they are police, maybe they are fire. I don't know, but it's good to see. And of course, in Ontario, it seems like the businesses are all going nuts and starting to mandate the Quaxport. And it's crazy. It's crazy, crazy. They said it was coming. Well, it's here. And tonight, I was going to have a guest. I always try and get guests, by the way, just so you know. I'm trying to get guests. I was supposed to have Ron Valiance on, who is doing the UNDRIP, but he's out campaigning, so he couldn't come on. And I was going to get Adam Skelly of Adam's Barbecue. He said he might come on, but he never got back to me. So I am trying to book people that may be interesting and do an interview with these people. It's all mainly about, these would be more mainstream interviews I would do. But it's all about the hoax, and I would introduce a little bit of hoaxology for these, or fakeology with these people, just to see if they're interested in learning. And not too many people here tonight. We got four people here on the main video platforms: YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, DLive. And looks like we have a few people over on the FakoTubes. Looks like I got four people on there, so grateful. Thank you. And if I look in the chat window, and I will show you the chat because I'm done with the video. It looks like we have Steve83 in the FakoTube chat. Hello, Steve. How's your child? Oh, I got a very disturbing video I'll show you in a second on the telegrams. And Dirty Benny is in the chat. Hello, Dirty. Good evening, Ab. Outstanding weekend for Fakeology Chats. Thank you very much. You are a hardcore fakeologist. I really appreciate the hardcore ones. Thank you so much. Yeah, I haven't listened to the 10 and a half hour audio chat. the Fakeologist Australia Roundtable 2.0. I was on for at least half of it, but I know they went on and on and on. So I have to admit, I haven't listened to all of it. If you did, then you win a prize. That's tremendous, tremendous staying power. My attention span isn't that long. Well, not me. I can't do it. Now, I was just going to post the ingredients of the quaxine, so I didn't get a chance to post it tonight because I'm a little late, so I'll share that screen with you. Well, why don't we read that together? I don't know if it's true, so we're going to always just say it could be potentially fake. I'm going to share my Telegram screen with you, and we're going to look at that real quick. I'll put it on the Media Fakery record. So here we go here. This is by Tanya the Herbalist, who is a very attractive truther, I must say. That's her right there. She's a Canadian in Ottawa, our nation's capital. Let's see what she says. I gathered all vaccine ingredients into a list and contacted poison control. After intros and such, and asking to speak with someone tenured and knowledgeable, this is the gist of that conversation. My question to you is, how are these ingredients categorized? As benign or poison? I ran a few ingredients, formaldehyde, tween 80, mercury, aluminum, phenoxyethanol, potassium phosphate, sodium phosphate, sorbitol, etc. He says, well, that's quite a list, but I'd have to easily say that they're all toxic to humans, used in fertilizers, pesticides, to stop the heart, to preserve a dead body. They're registered with us in different categories, but pretty much poisons. Why? Me, if I were deliberately to feed or inject my child with these ingredients often as a schedule, obviously I'd put my daughter in harm's way. But what would legally happen to me? And he said, oh, that's an odd question. I don't know why, by the way, this is me talking. Why would you ask a poison control operator a legal question? That's not smart. And he said, odd question, but you'd likely be charged with criminal negligence, perhaps with intent to kill, and of course, child abuse. Your child will be taken away from you. Do you know of someone who's doing this to their child? This is criminal, .. Me, an industry. These are the ingredients used in vaccines, with binding agents to make sure the body won't flush them out, to keep the antibody levels up indefinitely. He said, what? Your conclusion. The man was beside himself. He asked if I would email all this information to him. He wanted to share it with his adult kids who are parents. He was horrified and felt awful. He didn't know. His kids are vaccinated and they have health issues. Now, that's hard to believe, this story. Now, it's probably not a real story, but do you really think people that work in poison control don't have any clue what's in vaccinations? Well, I guess it's possible. Here are just some vaccine ingredients that are being injected into your children. Formaldehyde or formalin, which is a highly toxic systematic poison and carcinogen. Beta-propiolactone, toxic chemical and carcinogen. May cause death, permanent injury after very short exposure to small quantities. Corrosive chemical. Hexadecyltrimethylammonium bromide. These are all chlorofluorocarbon or organic chemicals, I guess. May cause damage to the liver, cardiovascular system, and central nervous system. May cause reproductive effects and birth defects. Aluminum hydroxide, aluminum phosphate, and aluminum salts, they're neurotoxins. They carry risk for long-term brain inflammation and swelling, neurological disorders, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, dementia, and autism. It penetrates the brain where it persists indefinitely. Thimerosal, mercury, neurotoxin, induces cellular damage, reduces oxygen reduction activity, cellular degeneration, and cell death. Linked to neurological disorders, Alzheimer's, dementia, and autism. What about polysorbate 80 and 20? Trespasses the blood-brain barrier and carries with it aluminum, thimerosal, and viruses, allowing it to enter the brain. Glutaldehyde, it's a toxic chemical used as a disinfectant for heat-sensitive medical equipment. Fetal bovine serum, harvested from bovine cow fetuses taken from pregnant cows before slaughter. Yeesh. Human diploid fibroblast cells, aborted fetal cells. Foreign DNA has the ability to interact with our own. African green monkey kidney cells carries the SV40 cancer-causing virus that has already tainted about 30 million Americans. It was the polio virus or vaccine. Acetone can cause kidney, liver, and nerve damage. E. coli, yes, you read that right. DNA from porcine, circovirus type 1. Human embryonic lung cell cultures from aborted fetuses. This is all on the CDC's website. Yikes. Okay. That is not good stuff whatsoever. Wow. Yucky. Not good. Okay, looks like we have 7 on the call tonight. Looks like there's no... Oh, wait. I wanted to see how many people are listening just now to the audio chat. If you don't want to watch the video, you can listen online to fake11.com/radio1, or sorry, radio 2, fake11.com/radio2, radio 1. No, we're on radio 1. I'll be okay. Radio 2 is for the audio chat. All right, so we played a bit of that. Let us go to... Oh, wait, we're on Telegram still. What else we got? Well, it was a big day for the protest. I'll play a little Chris Guy. Anyone like Chris Guy? Here we go. He's worried about his safety now, which is not nice.
Hello, everybody. In light of the recent mainstream media narrative to try to paint me as a terrorist so they could preemptively arrest me before I could get to the first responders and show everybody how they're standing up for us, combined with multiple phone calls I've received from people with... I want to say high-level intelligence info. I am now legitimately concerned for my family's safety, including my own safety, in a way that I have
Brian.
To go public.
Brian's
and
in
let
the
everybody
channel.
Know that we are now legitimately concerned.
Brian, if you want
I've
to call
been,
in, you can.
Encouraged to hire some type of security, and this is going out to anybody with a security company. I would love to chat with you guys and figure something out so my wife can feel a little more secure. Thank you, guys.
Actually, a good song he played. So he was, where was he? He went down to the protest today, which is pretty good. I'll play that for you.
Look at all our first responders,
stand
ladies
up,
and gentlemen.
Stand up. It's not a
waste. Love you guys! Our first responders, ladies and gentlemen. Standing up for our rights. All right, let's get out of here before they try to fuck us.
Nice. One thing about Chris, he always makes it about himself. I like the guy. He is over the top. I don't really think he's controlled opposition. But, I think he's doing more good than harm. But, of course, not everyone agrees with that. Okay, let me go back and share my regular screen. Thanks, Brian. Brian can't come on tonight because Brian does a million shows. And I wouldn't mind talking to him a little bit about 9/11. Well, if you want to call in for 10 minutes, you can, Brian. It doesn't have to be for very long. Just a hey, hello. You can promote your show. It's up to you. Brian is a very prolific 9/11 truther. He really has 9/11 nailed. I think we agree on almost everything with regard to 9/11. So he's always a good person to talk to. So you can call in if you want, Brian. I don't have the phones open, but I will open them if you call. Let me just open them up anyway. I should open the phone lines anyway if anyone wants to call in. I should take calls for sure. So let me do that. I'll open up the phone lines. While I'm doing that, why don't we look at FakoTube? FakoTube is very busy. 1,047,000 views, which is fantastic. How about this woman? Not quite into virus fakery and the germ terrain theory, but
hello, my
she's
name
got
is
a
Dr.
lot to
Christina
say.
Parks. I received my PhD in cellular and molecular biology right here in the state of Michigan from University of Michigan Medical School. And so I'm very well versed in the science of both these mRNA gene therapy vaccines, this kind of technology, as well as what a vaccine is designed to do in the body, what it can do, what it can't do, and the fact that this is extremely complex science that has been oversimplified in the media to What I want to address today in this
the chat on DLive, hello,
is the fact that vaccine requirements and mandates are based on the faulty assumption that the vaccines in question prevent transmission of the pathogen, right? Does the vaccine for DTaP prevent transmission? No. Does the vaccine for flu prevent transmission? No. Do the vaccines for COVID prevent transmission? No. In fact, they were never designed to do that. All right, so you're asking, what about this 95% effectiveness? If you look at those clinical trials, they do not say that they prevent transmission. They expressly say that they're measuring whether they attenuate symptoms. So they're 95% effective based on their...
Now, she said something real... This is a lot of this is basically she's just telling everyone what they should already know, that even the vaccine companies are not saying that these vaccines do anything other than attenuate symptoms, which means they'll lessen your runny nose, your sore throat, your fever, your cough. They won't do anything other than what a normal over-the-counter cold medicine does, which means if they do treat the symptoms, then they shouldn't even be allowed. Because any time there's an actual medication that can treat symptoms successfully, then vaccines by definition shouldn't be allowed. But that's not what I wanted to point out. She said something else in here, and I didn't timestamp it. But I'm going to try and find it.
Many of you who are my age or older did prevent transmission. When we switched to the safer acellular version, all right, what about the flu vaccine? Well, they have shown vaccines are made to a specific variant. Flu, if you get exposed to the virus, in fact, all right, that science was just published this week. Hesitant group. Yes, PhD.
Oh, yeah, this is what I want you to hear.
PhD who knows the science.
Here we go. This is good.
And so, as a PhD who knows the science, I'm in the category of the most vaccine hesitant group. Yes, PhDs are the most vaccine hesitant, followed by...
That's pretty amazing, huh? People with that much education, I thought it was the opposite. She's saying if you have a PhD, you are the most vaccine hesitant because you know too much.
People who have less than a high school degree because they know what they don't know and they don't trust their government. And many...
If you're not quite fully high school diplomaed, you're also in the highest hesitancy or rejection group. Interesting.
People, the other group that is very vaccine hesitant are African Americans.
That's black people. They're the most hesitant.
70% of African Americans have...
70%, she says. Now, I don't believe any of the numbers, but I do believe that the numbers for black people are very high. And what's the reason?
Not taking this vaccine. Why? Because they don't trust their government. Do they have reason not to trust their government? Well, between the years of 1930 and 1970, the CDC conducted the Tuskegee experiment, where they took untreated males with syphilis and they refused to treat them. Even after antibiotics...
I'm surprised... Anyone knows their history, but I guess if there's any history to be known, the black people know about Tuskegee. Very interesting.
It became available. They still did not treat them, and they did not tell them that they had syphilis. They told those people that they were there to secure their health, and they did not secure their health. They abused them. You say, well, that was in the past, although I don't think 1970 was that long ago. Well, in 2012, whistleblower William Thompson came forward and said, we published a study that said MMR does not cause autism, but we lied. In fact, we shredded data that showed that when black boys are vaccinated on time, they have increased rates of autism.
I think the blacks with the MMR got the autistic characteristic the most and the hardest. So I feel really bad for the black people. For whatever reason, it really rams them the hardest. Don't take it. Stay away. It's dangerous. It can't do any good. That's not health advice. That's just anecdotal evidence that I have collated over my career of watching all these videos. And even if half of them are real, it should be enough to make you very, very hesitant. EBI for children. What is EBI? Experimental biological injection. And a couple of posts from Vox Populi, one of my favorite Christian bloggers. In the United Kingdom, parents in the United Kingdom no longer have the ability to refuse to vaccinate their children over the age of 12. So if you say to the school, no vaccination for my 12-year-old, they can still ask your 12-year-old if he wants it. 12-year-old can't decide if he goes on a field trip. 12-year-old can't drink. 12-year-old can't consent to sexual activity. 12-year-old can't go in the military. But if it comes to an experimental biological injection that can completely destroy their lives, that's fine. Incredible. The FDA is expected to approve the fake vaccines for elementary school children. And we're talking between 5 and 11. Pretty disgraceful. Pretty amazing. All right. Eureka 17 second beep beep. And Simon is still honing his 9/11 work. I guess our little discussion on the weekend got him motivated. And he realized that he forgot to let you know why he came to the conclusion that there was something to the beep beeps in all the media footage just after the plane on the video hit the tower. I just realized today that I've never written about a Eureka moment that occurred to me several years ago. As I released my September Clues movie back in 2008, I remember thinking that perhaps part E of the movie was a bit weak. That's the part where I show that a curious beep-beep audio cue at various volume levels was heard on all the TV networks. As I lined up and synced all the 9/11 broadcasts, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, on my video editing software, I had noticed that this audio cue occurred 17 seconds before the shocking crash of Flight 175 crashing into the World Trade Center. Now, this was, of course, most interesting in itself, since it meant that, as I had suspected for a while, all the imagery aired on the various TV networks that morning must have been managed by a single centralized TV broadcasting studio. The beep-beep audio cue, which was loudest on ABC, was therefore plausibly have bled into the audio tracks assigned to the other TV networks through the main central mixing console. Yet one key question remained. Why 17 seconds? Why precisely 17? In my movie, I speculated it might have something to do with the fact that there was a 17-second gap between the official seismic data, which had allegedly recorded at a peak at 9:02:54, whereas the plane crash was aired on TV at 9:03:11. Only a few years later, as I put together the below GIF from the synchronized live broadcast of ABC, CBS, NBC, and that the simplest imaginable explanation for that 17-second countdown cue dawned upon me. That's right. The all-important movie sequence that we may call Approach and Crash of Flight 175 lasted for 16 seconds. What the world saw on quote-unquote live TV that morning was a grand total of no more than 16 seconds of the alleged Flight 175, split on various TV networks. Thus, the reason for the beep-beep signal occurring on those four TV networks becomes crystal clear. It was ostensibly just a cue needed to sync all sorts of logistical imperatives connected to the wider 9/11 operation. In short, the beep-beep basically gave the go signal for those involved in the 9/11 operation whose actions needed to be coordinated for one reason or the other. So that's pretty interesting. So that was part E. Now, that makes you want to think, what is part E? So let's see if we can find it on FecoTube. Is it on FecoTube? I don't know. So far, no good. Well, let's see. Maybe that's part of the regular movie. Let's take a quick search on FecoTube. September Clues. Do-do-do. Amateur. Fox. Maybe that's part of the main movie. I don't know. Epilogue. Actors. Foxed out. He should put all these in one movie, I think. Yeah. Oh, I see. It's probably in the main movie.
Right through.
In Lower Manhattan, where
from my
board director
were
attacked.
They saw top part
of the world.
Here, apparently, friends or family members
looked in smoke.
Well, I don't know where it is. It's probably in the main September Clues movie. Wow, that really went up. Since the last show, this had 2,000 views. Now it has 4,300 views. Wow, that really got busy. We've got right now 111 people on FecoTube. So it's a busy site. Really appreciate everyone that comes on to FecoTube. And thank you to Anonymous, who has paid it forward till next year. That's so generous of Anonymous. Thank you very much. Yes, for sure, it is what this website's all about, 9/11. If you understand 9/11, there you've got it all. Now, I was just reworking this old chestnut. If you ever wondered what you would have done in 1930s Germany to stop the subsequent atrocities, now you know. So many people think we are repeating history right now with this future segregation of society between the quaxed and the unquaxed. And couldn't agree more. Actually couldn't find this quote easily anywhere on the internet. There was a graphic or two. I know I've uploaded it to the website, but I didn't have the intelligence to put the text with the graphic. So you can't really find text in a graphic in any way. Unless you have the original picture to do an image search. So I know I posted it somewhere here before. Or it might actually be, let's just take a quick peek on fakeologist.com/forums2. And by the way, we have a new person that registered on forums 2. That would be No Planes on 9/11. Interesting name. I don't know who you are, but well done. So if we look at the coronavirus hoax, and if we look at memes, I believe we have a memes area, I think. Memes and graphics. We got lots of memes that go back to April. What's this one here? Oh, there's Ash. Ashika. Remember Ashika? There she is. Okay, so we got a million memes. If you want to post any of your memes on FecoTube, just log in, get a login. I'll approve you if I know who you are. No, that's not it. We have too many pages to go through, 17 pages of memes. So it's probably on there somewhere, but we got tons. Wow. Is that it there? No. Boy, this goes back a long time. Look at that. Viewed 531 times. You get a lot of views. Plop my water. I get a lot of views, as you can see here. It's not so much staying alive, it's staying human that's important. What counts is that we don't betray each other. True. George Orwell has never been more popular. Yeah, look at that. Lots of stuff. Okay, let's get back to the blog. Okay, I put this on... I put this on first on the first responders on Instagram on Fakeologist, so it just links to the Instagram. That looks pretty good. That's a million moms on Instagram. Actually, she's a really, really good truther. Get her on the show. She should be something to look at, not me. She's got a lot of followers. This is Stephanie here. I think her name is. A lot of these Instagrammers, they start their feed and they just wait till people get on. They just start counting the people.
Hey, guys.
And then they start talking, I noticed.
Welcome back to another episode of My Child is Sleeping in the Back Seat. As you are unvaccinated. And to start to fight for what's right. It's not about pro. It's said. And make it out if you can. But.
All right.
As it usually is.
Well, that's. I didn't put it on Fakeologist or on Fako too because she's got a huge channel. She's pretty good at keeping her stuff. She does interviews. She's quite interesting. You can see she's always doing interviews. It's actually a pretty good show. So check out her channel, 100 Million Moms. What else we got here? Oh yeah, this is the Germany quote, I think. Oh wait, no, this is actually Tony Heller, who says he's Jewish. So he posted this. What happened in Germany in the 1930s and 1940s happened because Germans were human. I grew up being taught that Germans were evil, but that was nonsense. When government decides to engage in propaganda leading to evil, most people are unwilling or are unwilling or unable to resist. Yeah, how true is that? Found another podcast that actually might be worth subscribing to. It's called Paranormies. And they were actually, it was a 3-hour podcast. I didn't get through it today. But they were looking at Simon's September clues, which is strange because almost nobody that I know actually talks about September clues. So let's play a bit of it and just check it out. Let's see if it plays.
Rambo type movie.
You guys got to get great radio
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Reinhardt.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
The new 9/11 narrative will be exactly what that cry on or the screenshot of the Department of Homeland Security three things to look out for will be. It will be, you know, the new enemy will be people who oppose COVID measures. Mm-hmm. Believe
now, these guys are pretty accurate, even though they're another one of the Jews did it podcast, but. Overall, it's pretty interesting what their take on media fakery is. I think there's 4 people on this podcast. It's a little full for a nice, smooth podcast, but the host is named Johnny Monoxide. That's just kind of a funny name. And definitely, I think it's a pretty good podcast. Paranormies. Never heard of it? Let's see here. The Paranormies present. What is this here? That's an ad. What happens if you click that? I don't want this. Oh, I see. That's just an ad. Don't want that. Let me see if I can see their different episodes. No, Okay, doesn't show the various episodes. Interesting. They probably just have to type it in. They should have put a link, Paranormies. Let's see what... Oh, I see. It's on Zencast. They don't even have a homepage. Strange. What do they got? Quite a few episodes here. Transhumanism. Clown car full of Nephilim. They have a call-in show. I don't know what that's like. I got a call-in show, but nobody calls in. Let's check it out here.
I'm not a pervert. I'm just Italian.
Road, build up an urban legend, and then come back even bigger than they were. And that's honestly what they've done since they've come back in the late 80s. Yeah.
Right on. Or you could Sounds just send good. It. Or you could also send it to me. You know, I know the guy that you might need to get.
The end time stuff that evangelicals talk.
Anyway, there's a podcast. It's worth listening to. Try it out. Get back to me. Tell me if you like it. Paranormies. They brought up Baghdad Bob on their show, and that got me thinking, boy, did I watch Gulf War 2? I guess Gulf War 1 was in the early 90s. Let's check out Wiki on that. Gulf War. Let's see when that was. The Gulf War was in 1991. Sorry, 1990. That's when Iraq was told to invade Kuwait. So the actual Gulf War I was 1 month, 1 week, and 4 days. I'm glad it wasn't 1 day. That would have been 111. So it's from 17 January, there's your Q number, to 28th February, 1991. Okay, remember that. Now, I don't remember what shenanigans went on during Gulf War I. Exactly. Let's look up Gulf War II. Because that's where we had, let's see, Gulf War. Okay, they called it the Iraq War. Is that what they called Gulf War II? This article is about the war that lasted from 2003 to 2011. Way, way longer. 8 years, 8 months, and 29 days, 88. Interesting. Note the numerology. Started on 3/20. Interesting. All right. Well, we had Baghdad Bob in there. That's what I wanted to bring up, and that was quite interesting. Baghdad Bob. So they were bringing him up. He was the funny part about this is he was the Minister of Information. And he was busy calling the war out when the opposite was happening. So I decided to watch this video that someone posted on the Iraq War coverage, looking as a fakeologist at it. I've never watched it before.
To recap once again, U.S. forces marched...
The first thing I thought was, is there any chance that Baghdad Bob was actually in Baghdad? Because they were describing on the podcast how he didn't really look Iraqi. They said he looked Egyptian. So I was thinking, maybe there's no chance he was actually in Iraq. Maybe he wasn't even Iraqi. I doubt Saddam was ever in Iraq at the time. And then, of course, as you watch it, you think, was any of this coverage? Because the coverage really doesn't change all that much on this live screen. Then I thought, what are the chances that any of this was in Iraq? There's a good chance none of this was in Iraq. This could have been on a Hollywood soundstage. They keep telling you they're in Iraq. They keep telling you it's live, but we know that from 9/11, none of this is true. Live doesn't mean live. It means evil in reverse. So as you watch this, And the other thing that stood up is the sound. The sound didn't seem to match where it was. So and it seemed like it was dubbed in. And they made the sound integral to the broadcast, but they kept mentioning it.
Because of the dust and the haze. But there are a lot of bad guys that are still out there. We were parked outside of an artillery battalion. We're engaging them. We're getting a lot of secondary.
And don't forget, they also had the embedded reporters embedded in the Army. Or was it the Marines? I can't remember. They made jokes about it. But is there any chance that any of this was really in Iraq?
These trucks, things we call technical guys driving around in trucks with machine guns. There's still a lot of bad guys out here.
And there's still troops actually going through this kind of stadium.
And how convenient that the shot is in a sandstorm with lots of haze. I think they're wearing masks, which is fascinating.
We'll hear shots fired, and we see two Iraqis.
Or maybe not. Maybe that's just really blurry footage. Okay, no, those aren't masks. That's just a chin strap.
Yeah, we're feeling good. There's not a lot of celebration going on yet, but we're still feeling very good about being here. We still got a lot of work to do. Just want to protect all the guys.
I don't know what happened to the sound there. Oh, I turned it off. Hello. Come on back, sound. Sorry, pressing the wrong buttons here.
At least in the vicinity of the National Parade Ground and the other key symbolic sites that 2nd Brigade has secured this morning. We've only been here for about, 3.5 hours now, and the resistance is...
So definitely take a look at this. The fakery, it's very suspicious. Very suspicious. They show the same scenes. They don't really show very much. I just thought this was a really good watch. I mainly listened to it.
Everyone here feels that this situation is fairly secure. But there is other fighting going on in the city right now. But again, commanders telling us that 464, 164, the tank battalions are winning that fight. And they are here to stay.
Greg, a little earlier we watched that dramatic video of the statue of Saddam on a horse explode. Tell us how that came to pass.
Yeah, it was quite a moment. What they did was there's a statue of Saddam Hussein on the far side of the viewing area, a tank which has a name, actually. The name of the tank is courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. And we aimed at the statue and took it out. We knew they were going to do that. It's a huge psychological boost for the troops here. And it's obviously symbolic, and a lot of what's happening today is symbolic, taking control of these kind of symbolic sites in Baghdad.
Look at the repetition, over and over, psychic driving of the same old imagery. Everything is really reminiscent of the 9/11 phony footage.
Two palaces, the reviewing stands, things like that. And now that statue is destroyed. I will tell you that troops are kind of sifting through the debris, making off
with... Fourth time they've shown. It's like a video game, by the way, the way it disintegrates.
Maybe the horse or Saddam Hussein's pistol. It was Saddam Hussein riding on a horse. But now it's in smithereens, and a lot of troops taking home pieces of that statue with them. Allison?
Greg, stand by for a second. Colonel David Hunt is here with me. He wants to ask you a question.
Hey, Greg, three things. Like, one, great job, you and your cameraman. It's amazing, amazing footage. That's just a super job. Two, why don't you take a walk over and talk to Baghdad Bob and see...
He tells me that's amazing footage. What has been amazing about the footage? There's nothing amazing about the footage. This is how they program you. It's amazingly bad footage.
If he wants to admit that, or bring a tank with you and introduce Baghdad Bob to the great tank guys. Number three, are you going to get out of the Marine Reserves now and join the Army?
Well, okay. I'm still in the Marine Corps though. As much as the Army seems to want me, I'm going to be a Marine for a while longer. You mentioned Baghdad Bob. Actually, Lieutenant Colonel Rick Schwartz, the CO of 164 Tank Battalion, said he was planning on going over there. They were very curious to find out where he was speaking from. As a matter of fact, commanders here listened to every word of that press conference on cell phones because they want to know what he's saying, if there's any kind of indication of a surrender, and they want to know where he's saying it from because they very much want to talk to this gentleman. And thanks for mentioning Mal James. He is tremendous. Set up our video phone. He's been taking extraordinary risks to get these pictures, and it looks like he did everything he could have been expected to do. It's just unbelievable what he pulled off here.
Greg, it's Brian Wilson in Washington. I was struck by what your commander there said, that as far as he's concerned, they are there to stay. And do you see them now starting to set up the things they need to set up to stay in that position for a while longer?
I'll say this. They're having the conversations that they have when it's time to set something up. They're not setting up a tactical post here. They may. As a matter of fact, I'm probably not supposed to go into that, but there are discussions about the things that have to be talked about, you know, before these permanent operations are set up. Things seem to be in the works.
And, Greg, I'm just astonished that you're standing there in the middle of the parade grounds, having been at the palace earlier, and these shots are going off. What are the shots? What are they shooting at?
Yeah, what are they shooting at?
You know, I can't see what they're shooting at, but they are kind of going through these parade grounds, which are generally under military control, and kind of sanitizing the area, making sure that there's no enemy out there. Now, I can't tell you, because I'm not there, what they're shooting at. We're hearing the rounds, but they have been told to basically secure the reviewing stand. We've got our flak jackets on. We've got our helmets on. Feel relatively safe, believe it or not, even with this small arms fire going off. Basically a routine patrol. They might be firing into areas that they can't see, that kind of thing. But we'll talk to these guys when they get back from their mission. But you're right, yeah, after the palace, now we're at the parade ground. We've got a few more stops today. It's just been extraordinary, and these guys very much think they are sending a huge message just by being here, Brian.
The information ministry, we are told, and the foreign ministry, which are only a couple of blocks from your location, as I understand it, are still said to be firmly in Iraqi control. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands what we're seeing here.
Anyway, take a look at it. It's an hour. It's there's really not a lot to see, and it just is more reinforcement in my mind that we're looking at a soundstage and brings more credence to the idea that war is a hoax. At least that war was. Modern wars are most likely all on television. Now, Florida Kid said, take a look at One World Trade Center, the new One World Trade Center. It looks like a syringe. Well, I guess so. It certainly has a very large communications tower, but that is definitely a pointy needle-like, looks very needle-like for sure. Yeah, it's a very interesting building. Very interesting. There's the hole in the ground where the other tower used to be. Interesting. Yeah, maybe syringe. Sure. I'm okay with that. Oh, Dirty Benny, if you have a link, I'll take a look at your link. I posted about the World Trade Center 1 in the forums. I'll look at that. If you want to send me the link, find it for me. That's cool. Thanks to all the viewers on YouTube, DLive, Twitch, and Twitter. All right, let's go back to the blog now. Phone lines are open, by the way. I'll put the numbers if you want to call in. I got a few minutes left, 810-666-1984 and 902-400-1984. Going back to the blog. So that's Baghdad Bob. Take a look. Now, I listened to an interview today. I put this ethics professor, medical ethics professor from University of Western Ontario, put her video back towards the top because I listened to a pretty good interview with her on just a normie non-fakeologist podcast. Not bad. I'm not sure exactly what to think about this, if she is telling the truth or not. Not positive. It looks like she has already taken a leave of absence. She's a small child, and there was a child in the background in the audio, but somebody else pointed out, if you look in the reply section here, that she has an art business on the side. Now, there's nothing she said that's not true when it comes to the ethics of firing someone for not taking a forced vaccination. But maybe there's more to the story that we're not being told. It's possible. And new commenter Allen was bringing up a lot of this stuff. He couldn't find a lot on her. She's got her own art site. She's got two houses in Ontario, so she's doing okay. I guess most professors are making pretty good money anyway. Not much to see here, really. Okay, she looks like she does good art. Looks like it takes some talent to do what she's done. I'm not big on art anyway. Philosopher, philosophy teacher. So there you go. Don't know what to think, really, other than the fact maybe she is the real deal, but she probably has tenure, which probably means she can't really be fired anyway. Or if she is fired, she will still get paid. So I don't really know what to think. On savechat.fakeologist.com, I believe I put another person up here. It was a fire captain in Honolulu. I don't know where I put it now. He is also going to get fired if he doesn't take the vaccine. So it just seemed coincidental that we have these 20-year swivel servants that are all coming up at the same time. And part of the things we do looking for fakery is look for patterns. So that could be a pattern. I'm not sure. A little bit suspicious. But if you want to listen to more of this person, there is a podcast right here. Thank you from Pam D. She gave me some feedback. She went to fakeologist.com/contact. Hello, I'm enjoying your live radio chats. Thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate you for logging important docs I can always return to. What to make of this story? It seems highly unlikely and fake news. So she sent me a link to look at. We'll look at it together. 15 Miami-Dade educators die from COVID-19 in 10 days. Well, first of all, you don't die of COVID because you can't test for COVID. There's no way to test. PCR is not a test. People do die every day. Pneumonia is one way people die, which usually is a result of one of the three ways we get sick: injury, toxemia, or malnutrition. So there is a possibility that some people die and they do a fake test on them and it says COVID, which means they have exosomes that look like the corona cell that doesn't say anything about infection or any of that. It's just the corona cell. It's a cell with a halo around it, like the corona around the sun. But since there's no test for COVID, you can't say they died of COVID because there is no test. It's an amplification process that they're calling a test. So somebody died at 55. Officials haven't released the identities of the other teachers or staffs. And a Miami-Dade County Public School spokesperson said the district doesn't release the cause of death for employees or students. There you go. So how do they know this guy died of COVID? A spokesperson for several unions confirmed the deaths. But they didn't say, she didn't say what the person died of. The quote at the top is official said. So official said means nothing. So you can't go by that. That's baloney. And they don't want to name the people. So Pam, my immediate reaction is a fake story. I auto hoax for sure. Everything is fake until proven real. So I don't think it's a real story. But you can attribute any person's death to COVID because there's no way to dispute it. Of course, there's no way to verify it. And you should therefore throw it out where it belongs, in the garbage, the story. This is a pretty good video here. Oops, I forgot to implant the embedded video. When I don't embed the video, when you can't see the video on the blog, most people don't go here to click on it. So I'll bet you the numbers on this video are low because people don't always look at the link. They click on a large picture. So this view count is low. But this is a website on YouTube that I like that is showing you the magic number 33. I've shown something like this before. I'll show it again.
And I say, as of today at this hour, we have 33 confirmed.
33 is the magic number. It's hoax code. It tells you that what you're watching is scripted.
So it's gone up by 11. That brings, those are 11 new cases.
All the numbers are simulated in this PSYOP. This, here, this video Arkansas. Just makes it blatantly today, obvious.
We have 33 confirmed positive cases in Arkansas.
As of today, we have 33 confirmed cases with Boston residents. We expect
this is over the last year, this pile of videos, but this guy went to a great extreme.
33 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19.
So as of this morning, there were 33 confirmed cases in North Carolina.
Good evening to you. Lots to get to tonight. I'm Leon Hendricks. We want to start with new information into our newsroom. Within the past couple of hours, there are now 33 confirmed cases of the coronavirus in Michigan.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the News at 6. I'm Richard Gearhart. Karina Corral has the night off. More cases of the coronavirus were confirmed today in San Luis Obispo County, bringing the total number now to 33.
Right now, Georgia is reporting a total of 99 cases in 19 counties. That is 33 new cases from just yesterday.
Good afternoon. I'm Karen Swenson. More cases and more events affected. Here is the latest coronavirus news. There are now 33 cases in Louisiana.
As expected.
The
number of cases of COVID-19 jumps. A total of 33 people in our state have been tested and are confirmed to have the coronavirus.
Day 4 of the shelter-at-home order brought 6 new confirmed cases of the coronavirus to San Luis Obispo County, bringing the total number to 33.
All troopers will be professional, polite, and we'll treat everyone with dignity and respect.
These latest steps as the number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in Rhode Island jumps by 33 overnight.
We have some stunning new numbers to share.
God, I don't know how anyone can watch the mainstream media. It's just so bad. And now that you know that they're lying their asses off day in and day out, I don't know why you'd waste your time, honestly. All right, well, no callers. Anyone on the Discord? Let's see. Don't forget fake11.com/Discord. A separate program altogether. Lots of people, mainly Australians, actually leaving tons of information there. You might want to check that out. The blog does go through to the Discord as well, so you won't miss any of the blog posts if you go over there. And you can talk to many, many interesting people. So take a look at that. And don't forget the forums. Don't forget I'm on Twitter. Don't forget I have all kinds of links on the right side of fakeologist.com/blog. There's the Discord. Just press this connect button and join if you want to. Here we go. Here's the tyranny roadmap, fake11.com/leak. Let's see if we're still on the map here. Where are we? Oh, yeah, we're in the martial law stage. Interesting. deployment of military personnel into major metropolitan areas as well as all major roadways to establish travel checkpoints, restrict travel and movement, provide logistical support to the area. So that's for the fall. Maybe that has something to do with the quack sports. I don't know. Take a look at that. Interesting. That's the COVID timeline. And that was in this email that was found here. This original email. Let's see what that brings up. The Canadian report. Do-do-do-do. When was that? That was the 14th of October. Okay. That was in October. That was a year ago. LPC leaker at protonmail.com. All right. Well, we need an updated email to see what's next. All right, so what else we got? We haven't played this. We have clips, don't we? Clips, fake11.com/clips. Let's look at that. Let's quickly close out the show now. It's 9:32. Phone lines are closed. Let's go back to Agnes von der Planitz. Very interesting guy. He said this.
I'd say never let anybody stick anything into you, ever.
That's a good one. Okay. Yeah, we got lots of people tonight. Lost Spider, Jungle Jim, hello. Faco fans, hello, hello. We'll play a last clip from an Agnes, and then we'll call it a night. It's been about an hour. Not a heck of a lot of information today. I watched the first responders in downtown Toronto, which is a good sign for Canada. It's a good sign that there some people are doing something. I'll see if I can get an interview for sometime this week. And to close out, I will share this screen. I think an hour is enough to talk in one night. Oh, what happened to my screen? Okay, let's put it here. Let's close out with this nice graphic. Let's get this ready, make this full screen. Do-do. Okay, and bring this full screen, and we will play this clip and call it a night.
Well, the way I usually wake people up about that is I say, you've got about 68 inert things in it, and five main compounds that go along with the so-called disease. It's either grown, most often it's grown on eggs. So they let the eggs rot, and they contaminate them with this, you know, with tissue, diseased tissue of that animal. And then, of course, the bacteria and everything is supposed to grow in the solution, and they put a tiny amount of that, I mean a fraction amount of that, into the vaccine. But what else is in there? They say inert material. What is that inert material? If it's 63 chemicals, what is it? They can't be helpful. No chemical is helpful in the body. And then the main ingredients are liquid mercury, liquid aluminum, formaldehyde, ether, and detergent. Now, if I put that into a blender with some rotten eggs and some diseased animal tissue and offered it to you to drink, would you drink it? Mm-hmm. When I tell people that, they step back and say, oh, gosh, no, I wouldn't drink that.